Greetings, old-time radio fans, and welcome to another hour of classic entertainment as we take a trip back in time to the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I invite you to join me once again around the old part of radio. Today I'm bringing you some classic comedy from The Fred Allen Show, which ran October 23, 1932, until June 26, 1949, mostly on NBC, but with a short stint on CBS. Fred Allen was perhaps most famous for his ongoing on-air feud with Jack Benny. Beginning on December 30, 1936 and running for a decade, Allen and Benny traded insults at each other on air to the extent that people thought they were mortal enemies. In reality, they were good friends and the feud was simply for laughs and ratings. During the 1940s, Allen and many other NBC comedies fought with the network over censorship of the jokes. In the end, audience pressure won the day and NBC backed down from the censorship efforts. Today's episode is titled The Wedlock Society and was first heard at 9 p.m. on Wednesday, March 26, 1941 on CBS. Enjoy.
The Texaco Star Theater. More than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody. With our star comedian, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hopper, the Texaco Roundtable, the Martins and Al Goodman's Orchestra. It's Texaco time. Ladies and gentlemen, now that the weather is warmer, you folks will soon be getting outdoors to exercise and build yourselves up. Mm-hmm. We now bring you a man whose only build-up is the one I'm paid to give him every Wednesday. Yeah. And here he is, Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you, and you know why I bend way over like that, Jimmy, when
now
I say
why, Fred?
Certain people I know in this business, when they do that, their hair comes off. You see, I just want to show that elderly gentleman we mention occasionally. Well, thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And before we start, Jimmy, you should talk about build-ups. A man who has trouble trying to bash in the tops of two soft-boiled eggs every morning. You're telling me about building
up. Fred, I'm in the pink of condition.
Pink of condition? Uh-huh. Spelled with a U? You? Pink of condition. You are as weak as a horse player's willpower, Jimmy. You know, someday you'll be called upon to lift something heavier than a dry martini, and you will slump over spent and exhausted.
Well, for your information, Mr. Allen, I'm 6'2" and weigh 200 pounds. Now, you put that together and you've got something.
Yes, you've got something. You can fry a lot of French fried potatoes in.
Well, I suppose those bags under your eyes are muscles.
They certainly are. Look at those. They're hard as Why, I have heavy eyelashes, Jimmy, and I blink a lot, you see. And it's developed these biceps under my eyes, you see. I'm Charlie, the optical Charlie Atlas, they call me around. Those in the know. Well, don't forget, Jimmy, I'm a comedian. I'm not supposed to be fit. I have to stay sickly to tell jokes about my condition, you see. But you, a dashing announcer, you with that floor wax in your voice, I'd like to dance on your tongue some night with a part. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Why, what's the matter with me?
Well, to start, look at your feet there.
Kubelik
would pick one of those up by mistake any day.
All right, I'm a big man, so my feet are a little flat.
A little flat? Why, your arches are falling so far that when you stand still in a high wind, you rock.
Well, who sees my feet? My boot black and a few midgets. My face is my fortune.
Face? You mean that skin that's hanging down from your hair there? From your...
Now, Fred, you know, this is getting unfair. You keep throwing cracks at me, and I don't get a chance to say anything about you. Let me get in an insult.
All right. I'm broad-minded. Go ahead, Jimmy. I can take it.
Fred, you are so weak.
And weak that... reminds me, it's time we turn to the latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. Washington, D.C. Government Weather Bureau reports that formal arrival of spring resulted in higher temperatures throughout the country. Newspapers report hundreds of calls from subscribers claiming to have seen first signs of spring in many places. At Sackbut, Minnesota, a man called up the editor of the weekly paper and said,
Mercury went up to zero today. Spring is here.
At Hermit's Knob, Tennessee, a hillbilly told a friend,
This morning I seed a Major Bowes unit coming out from under a rock. Spring is here.
At Haymo, Maine, a motorist wired his wife,
I saw a man in Maine taking off his Wilkie button today. Spring is here.
At Sand Dune, Maryland, a truckman told a filling station attendant,
I drive a laundry wagon. I ain't picked up no heavy underwear all week. Winter is going. Spring draws on.
And so it went. The arrival of spring was heralded everywhere but here in New York City. The only signs of spring one sees in Manhattan are the poems that appear in the weekly magazines. Tonight, Texaco News invites several obscure poets whose works weren't quite good enough for the magazines to discuss their tributes to the newborn season. Our first unsung poet is Belvedere Sponge. You are a poet, Belvedere?
They call me Belvedere, the Bard of the Boulevard.
The Bard of the Boulevard?
Yeah, I work in a sanitation department. I'm a highway sanitician.
You're a street cleaner.
Yeah, but it's only a pose. Beneath this dirty white coat beats the heart of a poet.
Well, you mean you combine street cleaning and poetry writing?
Yeah. While stone around me is decomposing, there I stand, composing.
Have you written many poems on the job?
A goodly few. There was one, Thoughts While Passing Minsky's.
That's one of your poems. Yes.
An Orchid on My Shovel Lay.
An Orchid on My... Oh, delightful. Very good.
A Due to a Do-Bill Covered with Goo.
That was also one of your lesser-known works. Well, tell me, Belvedere, have you written a poem about spring?
Yeah. I'm calling it Signs Up.
Signs Up?
Yeah, Signs Up.
Well, how does it go?
Signs up. Yikes away and tally-ho, with me broom and shovel, away I go. Pushing me can down old Broadway. Picking up this and letting that lay. In winter and summer, in sleet and snow, me and me can, away we go. Around Broadway, as I'm scooping up scum, I see the first sign that spring has come. And what is that sign the street cleaner knows that tells him spring's in a breeze that blows? Is it the sign of the equinox? No, it's just an empty good humor box. When good humor cartoons in the gutters lay, the street cleaner knows spring's here to stay.
Well, thank you.
I ain't finished yet.
You're not?
No, there's an afterlog.
Oh, an afterlog is there? Excuse me.
Adieu, Miss Dames and Gents. I'm stepping out to lunch. I hope I leave you smiling. Yours sincerely, Belvedere Sponge.
Well, well rendered, and thank you, Mr. Belvedere Sponge. And now, too late. He won't come back. These poets are very temperamental. And now a young debutante who has written something, I believe. And your name is?
Consuelo Warburton.
Oh, you are a debutante, Consuelo?
Not quite.
Oh, you haven't come out?
Not quite.
Why not?
Well, to be brutally frank, I left finishing school unfinished.
Unfinished, were you?
Yes. It was a black mark against me. I couldn't come out.
Well, weren't your parents upset?
Mater was furious.
Really?
Pater was furious. Well, there was a scene, and I left home.
You went to the YW?
No, I'm at the Plaza temporarily, roughing it.
You're roughing it at the Plaza?
Yes.
Well, are you looking for work, Consuelo?
No, I'm writing poetry. Odds and ends, mostly.
Oh, odds and ends. Have you brought some poems with you tonight?
Yes, I have several tablecloths with me.
Oh, you compose on tablecloth?
Yes, I do all of my writing at the Stork Club.
Oh.
When I finish a sonnet, Sherman removes the tablecloth and it's rushed to my publisher.
Well, I see. Well, have you written a poem about spring?
Spring is obvious.
Oh.
My inspiration is eternally the obscure.
Oh, the obscure. And what poem are you going to recite tonight?
I'd like to be an olive in the middle of the bottle.
I'd like to be an olive. Well, you go right ahead.
I'd like to be an olive in the middle of the bottle. I would be as happy as a laughing little tottle. I wouldn't ask for money. My ambitions I would throttle if I could be an olive in the middle of the bottle. Oh, what joy to be an olive. What if I ferment? Oh, while men outside all fume and fret, I'd twiddle my pimento. Free from worry, strife, and woe, I'd care not quit nor jottle if I could be an olive in the middle of the bottle.
Well, thank you very much, Consuelo. And I hope least, the gentleman who refuses to give his name...
I insist on appearing incognito.
Don't worry, we're not mentioning your name, sir.
I'm a big man downtown.
Well, something shrunk you on the way up.
The income tax did it. I settled last week.
Oh, you settled.
Yes,
that brought
yes,
you down
yes,
a foot
yes,
or two.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, you are in business?
I think so. I haven't seen the evening papers.
Tell me, how did you start writing, sir?
Well, I'm in business, and there is no business. I have to have a hobby.
Oh, naturally.
I started writing poems on memos and sending them to employees around the office.
What happened?
Employees sent them back.
Well, that I can understand.
But I'm not discouraged. I'm reciting here tonight.
I was afraid of that.
Yes.
Well, what is your poem?
I call it Spring in Reverse.
Spring in Reverse.
Yes.
How does it go?
Spring is the season when flowers and roots peek through the earth as tiny shoots. Spring is the time when plants grow and thrive and burst through the ground, awake, alive, tulip, daisy, and buttercup, growing up and up and up. But spring is the season in my affairs when the bulls hibernate and so do the bears. Spring is the time when my world turns red, when plants and branches all are dead. Nothing is up in my part of town. Everything's going down and down and down.
What business are you in, brother?
I'm a stockbroker.
That explains everything. Thank you, Mr. Hoover. Thank you. And now we turn from spring and poetry to Kenny Baker. Kenny improves our Latin relations without resorting to diplomatic gestures. Kenny merely sings Rendezvous in Rio.
When mandolins play. A rendezvous in Rio, when my heart stood still to a sweet serenade. We dreamed that melody we breathlessly romanced to, couldn't die. And it turns out to be a tune that we once danced to, you and I. Brought us gladness was only the madness of two hearts in common. We vowed to love forever, then learn forever ended with a dawn. We dreamed every thrill man, every sweet fulfillment. No love slipped through our fingers. The memory still lingers of Rio Rendezvous. In Rio, a night our fortunes found us, with moonlight right around us, a setting for temptation. In Rio, with music to invite us and rhythm to excite us, we took the invitation. Brought us gladness was only the madness of two hearts in part. We vowed to love forever, then learn forever end with a dawn. We dreamed every thrill, man, there'd be sweet fulfillment. All love slipped through our fingers, the memory still lingers of Rio Rendezvous.
Just heard Kenny getting back from Rio. And now it's about time for a word from Larry Elliott. Hey, Larry. Larry, get on the job. This is no time to be reading a newspaper.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred. I just happened to see something very important in this paper here. Oh,
don't tell me they finally answered your letter in the advice to the Lovelorn column.
No, Fred. This is important news about America's aerial training program. We're now building the greatest air force in the world. Today, almost 30,000 young Americans are learning how to fly.
Say, that is important news.
Yes, Fred. Not only important to the country at large, there's also a thought there for all of us who never expect to fly a plane, but daily drive a car.
What is that, Larry?
Well, one of the first things all student pilots learn about flying is to relax. The instructor always tells them not to grip the controls with tense hands. Relax, they tell their students. Then you can really fly your plane. It's the same with driving an automobile. The smooth driver is always at ease, confident. And that confidence comes, in large measure, from the feeling of constant yet flexible power under his control. And there is where the alert, instant response of Texaco Sky Chief helps make smoother, better drivers. With Texaco Sky Chief, you've got eager, lively power underfoot, flexible power that puts you at ease, gives you a feeling of mastery over your car. It's fun to fly the highways with Sky Chief, Texaco's premium gasoline.
Goodman and his potluck philharmonic have just knocked Bublitschka off the hit parade. Oh, hello, Portland. I didn't see you there.
Hello, Mr. Allen.
What are you looking for? Have you lost something?
Oh, I'm looking for a broom. I have
to sweep up in front of the microphone.
Well, not now, after the program. Now, if you read your contract, Clause 7 tells you when you have
but
to...
But Canini Bakerino won't appear again unless the floor is spotless.
Canini Bakerino?
Uh-huh. That's Kenny Baker's new name.
Well, if Kenny thinks changing his name is going to keep him out of the draft, you know, they have they see through that.
That's not it, Mr. Allen.
Well, what is it?
Kenny sang with the Chicago Women's Symphony last Sunday.
Oh, he sang with the symphony and he's gone hi-hat, huh? Canini Bakerino. How do you like that? Look, he could call himself John Charles Fink. And he would still be Kenny Baker the Dough.
But Canini says he's going across the water to study.
Oh, Canini's going to Europe?
No, Staten Island.
Staten Island, the cultural center. The last time the opera played Staten Island, they took out the last two acts of Faust and put in Bingo, I hear.
Bakerino.
Hi, folks.
All right, come out from behind that aria. We know you, Kenny.
Canini to you. Canini Bakerino.
Canini Bakerino. That sounds like an Italian hors d'oeuvre.
That's the name I used when I sang with the Chicago Woman Symphony.
Oh, really? Did you go over well under that nom de plume?
I was a musical triumph. One critic said I was a fiasco.
Say, you know that that's no small praise in Chicago. When Singing Sam sang Rigoletto in Chicago, the critics to a man were conservatively noncommittal.
Kenny got a wonderful ovation, Mr. Allen.
Really?
Yeah, but those rowdy sailors in the audience spoiled it.
Sailors at a symphony concert?
Yes. When I finished my number, they yelled, "Anchor! Anchor!"
Oh, that's encore, encore.
Once, when I, Goodman, was a singing waiter in a Hungarian restaurant, at me they are yelling, "Beast."
In Hungarian, "Beast" means encore?
In Hungarian, "Beast" means shut up, slob, and serve the salmon.
Well, "Beast," and let's get on with the program.
I refuse to go on until this stage is cleaned up.
Well, what's wrong with the stage, Canini? If it's clean enough for me to lay an egg on... It's certainly clean enough for you to sing on.
But my tails will drag in the dust.
What tails?
I'm having a full dress suit delivered to me tonight in time for my next number.
Kenny, you are not going to make this program look like a mortician's anteroom. Walking around here with soup and fish on.
But I rented one for the Chicago Woman Symphony, and look at all the applause I got.
Well, people were applauding your voice, not your suit.
How could it be my voice? I was the same old corny tenor.
Kenny, please.
Gosh, Kenny, I can't wait to see you in a full dress suit.
Oh, it ought to be here any minute, Forty. I bought it at the Schleep Clothing Company.
The Schleep Clothing Company?
Yeah, I got a buy. For $4.98, a full dress suit with two pairs of pants and a belt in the back.
Oh, the... A full dress suit with a belt in the back.
And 2 pounds of mothballs.
2 pounds of mothballs thrown in. Did they fall out of the suit or did they come on the side? Well, look, Kenny... This Schleep Clothing Company sounds to me like some pushcart outfit.
Oh, it's a big clothing chain, F.A. Haven't you heard the radio program?
No.
They broadcast opposite us. They're on the air now.
They must have lots of listeners.
Never mind that, Portland. Never mind. Don't go into statistics.
I gotta tune in right now. They're playing one of my records. I made a deal with them.
Oh, I'll turn on the radio.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Schleep Clothing Company presents Transcription Time. Featuring Kenny Baker.
Some plug, huh, I think?
Kenny sings as his first number, "You Walked By." Oh, you are men. Don't be suckers. Don't miss this great closing out sale at the Schleep Clothing Company. Suits formerly priced at $140 are yours for $12.98. Woolen flannels, herringbone, shaggots, tweeds, and worsted. Take advantage of this great closing out sale. Be a wolf in Schleep's clothing. And now, for your musical entertainment, we return you to Kenny Baker.
What is can he do now? Sing a quarter note for an encore?
And now, men, while Kenny Baker prepares his encore, remember you have only until midnight tonight to act. The Sleep Clothing Company is through tonight. We're licked. Our lease is up. Also, we are bankrupt. The store is on fire right now. We're through. This is positively our last night in business. It's goodbye, Broadway. Sleep is through. Finished. Done.
Tune in again tomorrow night and every night for news of more bargains at Sleep. And now, the Fosdick Cafeterias bring you that stirring drama of everyday life, Heartburn House.
Turn that thing off. And, Kenny, you forget about that full dress suit. Oh, what's this?
Just come in. My suit now. Who's Kenny Baker?
I am.
My name is Schley.
Oh, yes, sir.
This is Mr. Krieger. I'll tell him, Mr. Baker.
Okay, Krieger. Neck 13.
Neck 16.
Waist 34.
Waist 43.
Sleeve.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What do you guys think you're doing?
We ain't debating the land lease bill, brother. Vest 19.
Vest 7.
What is this? You say waist 43. Krieger says 34. You say vest 19. Krieger says 7.
Can I help it? Krieger don't take no orders from nobody.
Hips 56, hips 23.
Sleeve 33.
Now, wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me that you can afford to make a suit, a dress suit to order for Kenny for $4.98?
Oh, well, our advertised price is $12.98. We allow Baker $8 on that old suit he's got on.
Oh.
Sure. Chest 32.
Chest 14 and a half.
Okay, Baker. Your suit will be ready in the morning.
I still don't get it. $12.98 for a tailor-made full-dress suit.
Oh, look, buddy. $12.98 is the list price. We're allowing Baker $8 for the suit he's got on. Balance $4.98. Isn't that the deal, Baker? That's the deal.
I still don't get it.
Well, we got to get back to the plant now. Okay, Baker. Take off our suit.
Now I get it.
Hey, this is my suit. You just traded it in to us for $8, right?
That's right. But I can't take this suit off till I get the full-dress suit.
That's our suit, buddy. I'm sorry.
But I have to have that suit on when I sing my next number.
Look, I think we can settle the whole thing. Even if it does cost us money, we want you to be happy.
Fine.
Tell me, Baker, how do you like that suit you got on?
I like it fine. I've had it on for 4 years.
What does the young lady think of it?
Oh, I think it looks well on Kenny.
Okay. Now, as you know, Baker, we allowed you $8 on that suit. Now, you give us $8 for it, and it's yours. So we don't make a penny, but we make a friend.
Oh, now, I'm not going to stand.
Oh, don't worry, F.A. I can take care of myself.
You can take care
of
yourself.
Well, Baker, $7 and not a penny more. You're a hard man, Baker. Okay, we'll take the $7.
Kenny.
It's a deal, mister. Here's your money.
Okay. Let's go, Krieger.
That's Huckersay 32.
Huckersay 44.
Kenny. Of all the...
Oh, boy, did I pull one on them.
You pulled one on them?
Yeah, didn't you get it?
Get what?
They forgot the sales pack.
Oh. That's done it. Music, maestro.
What can the matter be, oh dear? What can the matter be? Mary so long at the fair. Mary goes round on her merry go round at the music fair. She gaily shouts as she goes round about on her holiday. Cymbals ring and zing as she takes a swing and grabs at a ring. Her lyre is play the day away. Each hour is one sweet song. And Mary, Mary goes round on her merry-go-round as the phone is back. Even the grown-ups don't want to be shown up. They ride and ride. What a treat to feel the beat of the thumping drum.
Up and down and round and round and round on her merry-go-round.
Cymbals ring and zing as she takes a swing and grabs at a ring.
that clever day away, each hour is one sweet song.
Merry-go-round, oh, merry-go-round, as the pony flies.
Even the grown-ups don't want to be shown up, they ride and ride.
What a treat to feel the beat of the thumping drum.
Merry goes up and down.
On a merry-go-round.
Merry goes round on a merry-go-round. And all of the Martins fans, the friends in Providence, Rhode Island, are invited to hear the Martins at the Metropolitan Theater in Providence starting this coming Friday. And now...
Mr. Allen!
Wait a minute. Gentleman from Providence. Congratulations. Imagine, he couldn't wait until the Martins got there. He's meeting them halfway. Now, you can't do better than that.
Mr. Allen, can I borrow a pencil?
A pencil? What for? Does one of our fans want you to autograph his straitjacket?
No, it's on account of Mama. Yeah. If anybody says anything good tonight, she wants me to write it down and tell her when I get home.
Well, look, if your mother wants to know what's going on around here, Portland, why doesn't she just turn on her radio and listen?
Well, she can't find her radio on account of the smoke.
What smoke?
Last Christmas, Mama got mad at Santa Claus, so she plugged up the chimney of the fireplace to keep him out.
So?
So tonight, Mama forgot about the chimney and built a fire.
Yeah.
Now smoke's just pouring out of the fireplace, and the house is so full of smoke.
Your mother can't find her radio. Mm-hmm. Took a long time to get to that, didn't it? I could have done it much sooner. Well, all right, now here's a pencil, Portland, and here's something to write down to tell your mother. It's a brief dissertation by James Wallington on the subject of smoking fireplaces.
Smoke pouring from an open fireplace means trouble. And so does smoke puffing from the exhaust of a car. For when a car smokes, it's likely due to excessive wear that will cost a pretty penny to correct. So before the exhaust pipe barks your car as a smoker, do the wise thing this spring. Get rid of that thin, worn winter oil and make a complete change to insulated Havoline at your Texaco dealer. Insulated Havoline stands up to high engine temperatures that break down ordinary oils and endanger vital parts. Insulated Havoline is also distilled. It's free from carbon-forming impurities that clog engines and speed up wear. So change to the proper grade of oil for warm weather and steer clear of smoke and trouble by changing to insulated Havoline at your Texaco dealer. Mexico Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WABC, New York. Just heard Rhythm is Red, White, and Blue, appropriate overture music for our Texaco Roundtable, the only roundtable in radio, ladies and gentlemen, that specializes in trivia. Our three guests from the studio audience are ready for their unrehearsed participation, and Portland formally opens the roundtable session by calling the roll.
First is Mr. Ray Marr of Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Well, good evening, Mr. Good evening, Mr. Marr.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
You live in Flatbush, Mr. Marr?
I do, Mr. Allen.
And as a resident of Brooklyn, I imagine you're a loyal Dodger fan.
Very much.
Well, do you think the Dodgers will win the pennant this coming season?
Very, very definitely, Mr. Allen. We can't miss this year.
You can't miss this year. Well, I think that Brooklyn has a good chance, too, Mr. Marr. I tell you, with all of the ball players that are being drafted, I think Brooklyn is very lucky. Because with the number of old men they have playing this season, I think at the end of the year, Brooklyn will be the only club left in the league that still has nine men left on it.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Allen, I'd like to have my son Robert write you about that and hear what he says. He's one of the younger generation, and I think you'll probably have a letter of complaint from him and a lot of youngsters in Brooklyn.
Well, I probably will, but I don't get over there very often, and when I do, I go in an armored truck. Yeah, tell me, do you work in Brooklyn? What is your business?
No, sir, I work in New York. That is, out of New York. I'm with the Beechnut Packing Company, I have a special assignment at the moment.
I'm going to ask you what it is, but if you'd rather go on, you can just...
I'm waiting.
What is it you do, Mr. Ma?
I'm stopped at the moment. I'm concerned particularly, Mr. Allen, at the moment with the distribution of Beechnut's newest product, soup.
Soup?
Yes.
The people who were making gum are now making in the soup business?
That's right, sir.
Well, what do? You just don't go around with loose soup. What do you...
No, I'm concerned over in the borough of Queens, particularly, as part of Greater New York, and the distribution to the various dealers.
Oh, of soup. You don't have That's a little right. man go around with you, a vice president in charge of croutons, do you?
Not yet, no, sir.
Well, thank you a lot, Mr. Marr. I was going to ask you, in the factory, a big soup factory like that, suppose you get thousands of cans of soup all packed up there, and when you get ready to label it, how do you know which soup is in what can? I mean, isn't that... Confusing?
Well, you have to know the man that put the soup in the can, I guess. That's about the only way.
The district attorney has been putting a lot of things in the can. Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Marr. And now, Portland?
Mrs. Pauline Kelly of Jackson Heights, New York.
Well, good evening, Mrs.
Good
Kelly.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
I've always wanted to see what someone who lived in Jackson Heights looked like, and I'm very grateful to you for coming over tonight.
Well, thank you.
Tell me, what do you do for excitement over there? Jackson Heights is the Monte Carlo of Long Island, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, rather.
I couldn't locate it. My eyes are poor.
But, forget it. On account of the World Fair.
Pardon?
We had the World Fair over there. You
shouldn't
forget it so easily.
Well, I know, but now that it's gone, how do you know when you're in Jackson Heights? Conceivably go through it in a moment of weakness there. But tell me, what do you do over there for excitement? Come to New York?
Yes.
Oh, that's the principal.
Yes, and since the bus strike, we haven't been to New York so much.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Well, you've
kind
gotten
of crippled
to... Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You've gotten to know Jackson Heights better then, haven't you? Well, would you prefer to live in Jackson Heights, would you rather live there than in Hollywood?
Well, I've never been to Hollywood.
Well, then you'll settle for Jackson.
I'll settle for Jackson.
Well, I think you're doing the wise thing. You know, with all the rain they've had out in Hollywood recently, they tell me that people don't have mice in their cellars anymore. They have salmon now. Well, thank you a lot for coming up, Mrs. Kelly. And now, Portland?
Master Larry Robinson of New York City.
Well, good evening, Larry.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
How old are you, Larry?
I'm 11 years old.
11 years old. You're holding your age well, I must say. Not a gray hair up to now that I can see. Well, tell me, what is your profession? What business are you in, Larry?
Well, I'm on the radio on stage.
Oh, radio on stage simultaneously?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you do? You do the both all at once, sir?
No,
huh?
Well,
Do one at a time?
Yes.
What? You're on a stage? What show have you been in?
A Life with Father.
Well, it's on tonight. Why aren't you down there?
Because I grew out of my clothes and
you
my
grew body. Out of the suit and you grew out of the pot, huh?
I didn't want to buy another pair of pants, so they got another boy.
Well, that's the... that's the way it is in show business, Larry. It's nice to know that early, so you'll be prepared now for anything in show business as you grow older. Well, that brings us to our question, and tonight we take up a minor matter that has to do with parents and their children. Psychiatrists and authorities on child education today claim that certain accepted practices are outmoded. Some educators say that children should not have homework to do after school, and the children should... Now, we know where that's coming from. That's the Brooklyn element again. We'll go over there late tonight and tear down all the schools and make them very happy. But the psychiatrists say the children should not be regimented by dancing, music, and dramatic lessons either. One authority on child behavior says that spanking a child tends to cause nervous strain and assorted complexes in later life. Now, this despite the fact that philosophers down through the years have used the old adage, spare the rod and spoil the child. So our question tonight is, do you think children should be spanked, or do you feel that lumbar chastisement is injurious to the child? Now, Mr. Marr, you have a family, do you?
I do, Mr. Allen. I have one son.
One son. Well, tell me, how do you feel about spanking?
Well, I think that as far as sparing the rod is concerned, in the child's, let us say, the first 6 or 8 years, I think a little once over light with the rod occasionally does no harm.
Does the child no harm?
No, sir.
Well, what technique do you use? Do you prepare the child horizontally before you...
Well, it's kind of difficult. I haven't had to do a great deal in the past, and at the moment I'd be kind of fearful because he's getting kind of big, and I think...
in self-defense.
Self-defense now, yes.
If you hit him from now on, it will be in self-defense.
That's right.
Well, tell me, were you spanked as a boy, Mr. Ma?
I was.
You find that later life you had any inhibitions or complexes resulting from that?
No, sir, I don't think so.
You didn't have any welts that lasted that long?
Not that long, no.
Well, thank you. Now, Mrs. Kelly, do you have a family, may I ask?
Yes, I have.
You have how many children?
Four.
Four children. You see the people... you see, there we are. Posterity's getting a reception. That could happen in radio, you know. But tell me, how do you feel about the spanking problem?
Well, I'm for it and against it. Yep. I think when the child is young, a little spanking is very good for him.
A little spanking, it helps the circulation, besides... bringing home your part.
And later, I think that sometimes denying a child something he wants very much has a more... lasting effect upon
denying
him.
Denying the child something he wants when it's older rather than spanking it.
Yes.
Well, I guess that's right, too. I don't know. I never had anything when I was young, so they couldn't take anything away from me. And my father had no sense of direction, and he always spanked me on the back of the neck, which is a horrible position you see me in today. Well, thank you, Mrs. Kelly. Now, Larry, how do you feel about spanking?
Well, I think that if you mean to be bad and you're purposely bad, I think you should be spanked.
You think if a boy is purposely bad that he should be spanked, huh?
Yes, I'd rather be spanked than have a toy or not go to a party or a movie. I'd rather be spanked.
You'd rather be spanked and have it right over with, huh? Than to have your toys taken away or not be allowed to go to the movies or something like that.
Yes.
Well, I think you've got something there, Larry. I'm sorry we haven't got time to go into this thoroughly, but our round table seems to stand pretty well for spanking. I personally feel that what we have accomplished here tonight is strictly a matter of opinion. I think that where spanking is concerned, children will have to grin and bear it. And when a parent puts a child on his knee, it will not be to give an imitation of Edgar Bergen. Spanking is a slap-happy device. The child takes the slap, and the parent is happy. On this percussion observation, our round table adjourns. Thank you, Mr. Mark. Thank you. And now Kenny, minus dress suit, $7, and frivolous demeanor, and no opinion on spanking, returns to sing Filia from the Merry Widow.
There dwelt on a time in a forest of spies one Filia, a nymph with mysterious eyes. One day a young hunter encountered her there. One look and his heart he gave in to her care. Filia, oh Filia, my one precious God, pity the heart that is dying of love. Filia, oh Filia, I pray thee to rest here with thy head on my breast. Pity the heart that is dying of love. Filia, oh Filia.
You didn't know I was doing the whole thing, ventriloquism. I was behind there singing the whole thing. You never even knew it. Well, thank you.
Pardon me, brother.
Oh, just a minute, brother. Who are you?
The name is Zero, Nero Zero, creator of cold weather comedy. I'm holding my annual spring clearance of cold weather gags. I can let you have some wild cheese.
No, I'm
sorry. Let me give you a sample. Get this one. It was so cold last winter, three snowmen walked out of my yard and tried to get into the house.
No.
Here's another one.
No.
It was so cold last winter,
no.
I saw an icicle wearing earmuffs. And here's another one.
No,
it was
wait,
so
just,
cold
just
last
winter. Just a minute.
Winter.
Just a minute. Bad enough you tell them you're enjoying them, too. You're wasting your time, Nero Zero, not to mention those prop laughs there. Now, I'm not in the market for cold weather jokes at the moment. Why, this is spring. Winter is a dead issue.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Fred.
You wouldn't, Jimmy?
No. Winter may be passe for comedy, but it's still a vivid memory to many motorists. For any driver will admit that cold weather put the gasoline to the severest test of any season. And again, during this recent winter, more and more motorists switched to Texaco Fire Chief. They put Fire Chief to the cold weather test, and it came through consistently with brilliant, flashing performance. They're going to stay with Fire Chief the year round, and there's a mighty good reason why. Fire Chief is the famous all-action gasoline. The slow-action duds, those sluggish, worthless elements, are out of Fire Chief. That's what gives Fire Chief its surefire start, lively acceleration, stamina in the long run. So next time, try famous Texaco Fire Chief gasoline. There's not a dud in a tank full.
And now the Texaco Workshop players. Tonight they present a burlesque of one of radio's most popular programs, Haven Macquarie's Marriage Club. Our version is called The Wedlock Society, or Troth and Consequences. Music.
The Wedlock Society, brought to you by the makers of Misto, the new mystery all-purpose hair tonic.
Men, are you suffering from falling hair, the medical term for falling hair? Try the Misto 8-hour workout today. Here's all you have to do.
Slop a 2-quart jug of Misto over your balls. Rub briskly for 8 hours. If at the end of 8 hours you have not grown a 4-inch patch of new hair, return your empty Misto bottle to us. We will cheerfully refill it, resell it to you, and you can have another go at that ball slop.
Don't forget, folks, Misto, the mystery all-purpose hair tonic.
Misto grows hair.
Misto mends furniture.
Misto tastes delicious on your pancakes.
And now, Misto presents the Wedlock Society.
Each week, as you know, the Wedlock Society visits a lodge in a different city, interviewing couples on the joys and heartaches of married life. Tonight, Misto brings you the Wedlock Society's lodge meeting from Nutley, New Jersey. And here is our moderator, Mr. Raven McSorry.
Thanks. Thanks, brides and grooms. And welcome one and all to this meeting of the Nutley Lodge of the Wedlock Society. As we convene here tonight, let us give thanks to Cupid, who first joined our hands together in wedlock and started us down the pathway of life, ready to clip our coupons from the bonds of matrimony. Is our first loving couple ready, Fred?
Yes, Raven. Will you old folks step up to the microphone this way?
Okay.
Right here, madam.
Hey!
Folks, I wish you could see this devoted and tottering couple. Mr. and Mrs. Obadiah Kelp. Welcome, Obadiah.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Wedlock Society, Mrs. Kelp.
Hey!
Now, Brother Kelp, where do you and your ever-loving spouse come from?
We come from right here in Nutley. Hey!
And how long ago did you two get pelted with rice and hit on the head with old shoes?
Hey!
I'm speaking to your boyfriend, Mrs. Kelp.
Don't pay no heed.
Oh.
We've been married 37 years.
Adoring each other 37 years. Congratulations.
Hey?
Shut up, Cynthia. Speaking to Daddy.
Oh!
Now tell me, Brother Kelp, how did you propose to this apple of your eye here?
Whole thing was a mistake.
Mistake?
Well, Cynthia was always deep as a haddock. One night we were sitting in the parlor, and I start singing, Carry Me Back to Old Virginia.
Yeah?
Well, Cynthia being deep, first time I sung Carry Me, she thought I said Marry Me. And Cynthia yelled, I will, and I was hooked. Hey! Shut up, Cynthia.
And now for our first wedlock question. A bottle of Misto, the all-purpose hair tonic, goes to Mrs. Beulah Plotnick of Pone, Georgia, for sending in the following question. And the question is, which do you think are smarter, husbands or wives?
Mr. Kelp.
Husband.
And Mrs. Kelp.
Hey.
Thank you, Mrs. For your brilliant answers, the makers of Misto present you two charter members of the Wedlock Society with these two crisp $5 bills and these two two-gallon jugs of Misto.
Gosh, thanks.
Hey.
Shut up, Tinty. And as you... And as you old sweethearts creep down Lover's Lane with your jugs of Misto huddled to your breast, remember the words of Tony Wan. Our first love and last love is the same love. That's love. And now our next turtle doves, Mr. and Mrs. Homer Swan. Good evening, lovers eternal.
Hello.
Hello. I'm feeling faint, Homer.
Now, don't get nervous, little lady.
Mine is always fainting.
How long since you two were welded by Cupid's blowtorch?
10 years. Seems like 50.
And how many bundles of bliss has the progeny pelican dumped down your chimney?
Well, huh?
I feel faint, Homer.
Not now, Minor. What was that question again, mister?
How many little feet patter around your floor as night falls?
Oh, hundreds. We got mice.
No, Homer, I...
I'm gonna faint, Homer. Oh!
Your wife has fainted, Homer.
She's always fainting. My water bill last month was $42.
We gotta bring her to. Get some water, organist.
There ain't any water, Raven.
Well, put some... throw some Misto on her.
Okay.
Where am I?
Mr. Brotto, too, all right.
Hey, look what your Misto's done. Mine has got a full beard. She looks like General Grant.
She fainted again.
I'll get her out of here. Which way is the barber shop?
Before you pick up this woman you cherish, the love light of your life, Homer Swan, the makers of Misto present you with these two crisp new $5 bills and these two-gallon jugs of Misto.
Misto? Gee, thanks.
And now...
I'll get these jugs of Misto right home. I'll be back for mine later.
As you walk down Lover's Lane in the twilight of life, brother and sister Swan, remember that Misto also comes in the handy full pint size for loving couples too weak to lift the big 2-gallon jug of Misto. Our next dearly beloved, and you perennial handholders are, you sister.
I'm Mrs. Eustace Prawn.
I'm Eustace Prawn.
I see you, Brother Prawn, are holding your wife's hand. Something tells me you've been holding her hand since your wedding day.
I have to. If I ever let go, she'll beat my brains out.
Well, before we get to your question, Mr. Prawn, let me initiate you into the Wedlock Society by presenting you with this big, free, 2-gallon jug of Misto.
No, thanks.
You will find that... What?
No, thanks. I don't want no Misto.
You're on a radio program, and you're refusing a free sample?
You heard me. I don't want it.
But you... You can't refuse a free sample over the air.
Why can't I?
You might start a trend. Free samples are the lifeblood of radio. If people start refusing free samples, goodwill will be destroyed. Radio is through. Take this Misto.
No.
But I tell you, you can't refuse. Do you want people mailing thousands of encyclopedias back to information, please? Want people to rebel and not send in their box tops?
Well,
Do you want studio audiences to leave MCs with thousands of cakes of soap on their hands? This Misto here is a token of goodwill. Take it.
Now.
Take this.
Quit choking me.
Take it easy, Raven. You'll goodwill him to death.
Okay. Now, please, Mr. Prawn, will you take this Misto?
Well, why should I?
Read him a commercial, Ted. Show him why he should.
All right, Raven. Now, Mr. Prawn, why not try a jug of Misto? Misto is the new mystery all-purpose hair tonic.
Oh.
Misto contains carotium hypothecate.
Oh.
Misto revitalizes the scalp. Your scalp is dull and logy, if your cowlick hangs down a lifeless bang, if you have whisk-broom hair, use Misto. Oh.
Well, Mr. Prawn...
I still don't want it.
This is terrible. Why?
Well, look, I got more hair now than I know what to do with.
You haven't got it with you.
No, I mean on my chest. I have to part my chest to zip up my union suit.
But Mr. also contains glue. It mends furniture.
I live on a trailer.
But Mr. is delicious.
Gosh, Raven, the sponsor's coming out of the control room.
Mr. Bemis.
What's going on here, Mastari?
This man refuses to take a free sample of Misto, Mr. Bemis.
Refuses? He can't refuse. Misto will be the laughingstock of the country. If we can't give Misto away, how can we sell it? Yes!
You see, Mr. Prawn?
I still don't want it.
Mr. Bemis, he won't take it.
He's got to take it. But sorry, if you don't make this yuck take that free sample, you're fired.
Oh, yes? Come here, Prawn.
I don't want...
I know. You don't want Misto, the hair tonic.
I got hair.
I know that. You don't want Misto, the furniture mender.
I got no furniture.
I know. You like pancakes.
Yeah.
Good. Misto tastes delicious on pancakes. Now, here's your free sample.
I only like pancakes plain.
But Misto is good for anything.
I don't like anything.
Prawn! You are the most cantankerous man I've ever seen.
What's the matter with you, Prawn?
Look, I got insomnia. I can't sleep. Misto ain't good for that.
It isn't, eh?
Hey, put down that jug, eh? What are you going to do?
I'm curing your insomnia. Take this.
No.
His eyes are closed. He's sleeping like a little baby.
Congratulations, McSorry. You found another use for Misto. It cures insomnia.
Quick, Ted, stick that free sample under Prawn's coat.
Okay.
And so, folks, as we see Brother Prawn laying here doubled up with his head resting against the microphone, with both eyes closed, dreaming of wedded happiness ahead, let us all give thanks for the great institution of marriage. Marriage is the only union today that is functioning in harmony. And so, brothers and sisters of the Wedlock Society, good night. Now Larry Elliott. Larry Elliott sums up for the defense.
America has its timetable for the production and delivery of all the vital defense needs of our rearmament program. And when it comes to oil, a defense need second to none, everything is on schedule right up to the minute. But that's not all. The petroleum industry is prepared with supply, production, and equipment to meet every emergency, even beyond the pace of the speed-up conditions of today. Petroleum is a real defense industry.
Thank you, Larry. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to drive in anytime. Remember, you're welcome.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting Service.
Now, wasn't that some amazing comedy? I hope you enjoy some good laughs from today's program. You're listening to the Wedlock Society from the Fred Allen Show. Today's program was first broadcast on the evening of Wednesday, March 26, 1941, on CBS. I'm afraid that we're almost out of time, but join me again next week for another trip down memory lane. If you'd like to send me feedback, and I encourage you to do so, you may email me at Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at CFISFM.com. You may also write to me at Old Parlor Radio, 2080 15th Avenue, Prince B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS Studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week. Thank you.